Well, good morning, once again, or good afternoon already. My name is Ricardo Rodriguez. I'm from the European Center, and I'll be now be presenting the results of research that myself and colleagues at the European Center, Julian Winkelmann and Kai Laschenstein, have been carrying out. This is part of a wider project funded by the Swedish Ministry of Health and Social Affairs, which basically looks at the whole issue of whether to buy, to contract out, or to produce internally long-term care services. This is more of a policy-oriented, if you like, presentation. And the aim of it is basically to look at market developments in a number of EU countries and see what we could kind of derive from these market developments in terms of possible learning experiences for other countries, in terms of also possible common trends. Now, a bit of the motivation. This is usually not the type of picture that you find in a long-term care presentation. The idea with this is to convey a bit the metaphor of why we thought of analyzing these different care market developments. You can think of the different ships in this picture, in this oil painting, as representing the different long-term care systems in Europe. They have different sizes, different types of ships as the long-term care systems in Europe. And they are basically facing one storm, and you can think of marketization or the introduction of market-based mechanisms in long-term care systems in Europe as being this storm. So a common, sort of a common policy shock that has been implemented on these long-term care systems. And the idea is this, is that there would be a scope for mutual learning from the fact that you had this introduction of market mechanisms in different long-term care systems. Now, this is a quick overview of the methods we employed. This is a qualitative research based on case study methods. The unit of the case studies being four European countries, which we have purposely selected as sort of being representative of, if you like, care, different care regimes, different typologies of long-term care systems. We know that the whole idea of care regimes is a controversial one, but still we thought of trading in breadth for depth in terms of the analysis, and we picked England, Denmark, Germany, and the Netherlands as countries for these case studies. We carried out desk research in terms of peer-reviewed articles, great literature, also legislation on the national language, and then we supplemented this with expert interviews with key stakeholders, commissioning officials, policymakers in each of the four countries that we analyzed. And this was basically the big themes that we were looking at. On one hand, the pathways to competition and choice, so what were the key arguments, the key drivers for the introduction of the different market mechanisms, to what extent they shaped the way the market then was operationalized, how competition is indeed operationalized in these four care markets. We focused on both residential care and home care, although in this presentation I'll be mostly discussing the results regarding home care markets. And finally, we looked at issues of choice and agency, so who is empowered to choose and choice over what dimensions of user choice, so over just the provider, also from the care package, what is that users have choice over. Now what follows is a series of tables that try to kind of summarize what is a rather large report, which is available in our website. So this will try to make some sense of some of the key characteristics and key issues regarding each of these four care markets. First of all, we see that there were different starting points when market-based mechanisms were introduced in each of these countries, from what was basically a public monopoly in the provision of long-term care, for example, in Denmark, also in the UK, at least when it came to the home care market in the early 90s, to an existing non-profit oligopoly in Germany, or what we could already consider to be a mixed economy of care in the Netherlands. There were also different key players in terms of the debate, shaping the debate, and also pushing for particular solutions in terms of the market mechanisms that were introduced in each of these countries. For example, we had the disability rights movement play a key role in both the Netherlands and the UK, and this translated, for example, in the drive for what is in the UK called the personalization of at least home care a similar type of mechanism of story we find here in the Netherlands, which led later to the institution of all the personal budgets. Well, for example, in Denmark, this introduction of market-based mechanisms was very much a top-down process, which was then left very much to the municipalities to decide to what extent they wanted to embrace really market mechanisms and what type of market mechanisms to introduce. What we have is choice competition models which have some similarities, for example, but also some important differences. We have both in the UK, in Germany, and in the Netherlands a cash option, an opt-out, if you like, for users to take the value of their benefit and use it to acquire the care they need. In the case of the UK and Denmark, we have still a very important role for the monopsonic purchaser. In the case of the UK and Denmark, this is basically the local authorities. In the UK, the state's part, because under the personal budgets, you can basically decide that your local authority manages these for you, and this has been so far kind of the preferred, if you like, or at least most personal budgets have been taken as managed personal budgets. In the case of Denmark, basically local authorities have kept the market very much regulated. They maintain very much their role as purchasers of care. And what they have done is basically they have instituted a sort of dual market of care, if you like. What we have is, on the one hand, tasks related to home health, which have been contracted out, which have been allocated, which are provided mostly to private providers. In fact, public providers are not allowed to provide many of these tasks. While on the other hand, personal care has been maintained very much within the realm of public provision within municipalities in Denmark. In Germany, you would have what is in principle from these four care markets, what is in principle the most competitive care market in terms of having lower, potential lower barriers to entry, for example, from regulation. In the Netherlands, you could, apart from the personal budgets, we have what we would call a supervised choice, in the sense that, as we'll see further on, care managers retain very much of the power in terms of making the decisions and the purchasing choices on behalf of users. So these were the kind of the market arrangements that we found, that we find currently in these four countries. Now, as we said, we also try to have some feel for what type of contracting procedures were put in place, what were the barriers, the issues that commissioning authorities at different level or purchasers were facing. What we found was that there was, at the municipal level, reports really of purchasing authorities sort of having a bit of a process of trial and error in terms of the different types of contracts that would better suit their purpose in terms of providing long-term care for older people. In some aspects, for example, in Denmark, we found that there was what we would consider a very limited tendering because of the legislation regulating tendering. Basically, this is legislation that tells you that local authorities are free to set the price and quality requirements, but then they have to take on whatever provider that meets these requirements. And there was a great deal of resistance from the part of the local authorities in Denmark to go for this fully-fledged tendering, because they would not want to have their in-house providers to lose out on the users that they were already already providing. We found also some issues regarding the organization of tasks. Maybe this is not exactly a surprise, because in order to contract long-term care, you have to define what is that you're going to contract out. And in a number of countries, there was the fear that this had somehow led to a very tight definition of what was what were the long-term care tasks. Also, some mixed evidence in terms of the competition. Most of the competition seems to be based on quality, with prices being held fixed by the local, by the municipalities, by the purchasers. In the case, for example, of the social insurance funds in Germany, they are the main the ones doing most of the purchasing. We saw already from previous presentation that there was in England at some point a public reporting mechanism that was then discontinued. In Germany, in the Netherlands, there is also in place a public reporting mechanism that was also supposed to drive to help users in their choices, but also to drive quality upwards through the usual mechanisms that the first presentation highlighted. There is so far limited evidence that this has actually had a sizable impact in driving up quality both in Germany and in the Netherlands. Even though, at least in the case of Germany, this is a system that has been in place for some time, and there are different reasons why this has happened in both of these countries that we can come back to it further in the discussion. In terms of who is making the purchasing decisions, we have different sort of stakeholders, from the user themselves to some extent, those at least using direct payments in England, or the personal budget in the Netherlands, or taking the cash option in Germany, to most who are just care managers in Denmark, for example, where we could say that the Danish example is one where choice is much more limited on these four care markets that we surveyed. Now, of course, when we looked at the discussions surrounding the introduction of market-based mechanisms, there was a lot of reference to user choice, to the potential benefits of introducing user choice, but this of course means different things in the different care markets that we analyzed, and even within the care markets. As we saw, England, Germany and the Netherlands have this cash option, and it is clear that those taking the cash option in any of these countries have a greater leeway in defining the care tasks that are delivered to them, in choosing who is providing those, who is providing care to them. The same cannot be said about those who remain, so to speak, within either the local authority or within the in-kind benefits, for example, in Germany. Again, the issue about the tailorization of tasks when it comes down to the definition of need. In England, part of the idea of introducing the personal budgets was that users would have a bigger say in defining their care needs. One could say that arguably, of the four case studies here, in England, users have, as I said, arguably the greater leeway in defining their care needs. In Denmark, in Germany, and in the Netherlands, the care needs are very much defined by a care manager, by an assessment procedure. In the case of Germany and the Netherlands, this is probably not totally a surprise, because these are social insurance-based models, so having some sort of algorithm to define the, to do the assessment is part of the whole idea, in this case, of having the long-term care insurance. But there are some issues to what extent users could have a say in defining their needs. So different scope for choice. As for outcomes, we would say that there was a widening of choice in all of these care markets that we studied, not only because there was an opening of the market to new providers, new types of providers, but of course because, if not for anything else, the cash option at least gives some of the users of care in some of the countries really the possibility to have a greater choice. Interestingly enough, we know that this cash option, for example, is not very popular in England among older users of care, at least. It has become extremely popular in the Netherlands. It has actually been partially blamed by the increase in the costs associated with the long-term care insurance in England. It was extremely popular in the beginning in Germany. It has lost some of its popularity, so to speak, but it's still the preferred or the most, the type of care that's mostly taken is as a cash payment also in Germany. So contrasting kind of experiences there. From the perspective of the care market, there were some, we detected some, especially from the interviews, some concerns from commissioning officials and policymakers in some of the countries regarding what could be interpreted as some signs of market concentration in terms of providers of care. It was not exactly clear if this was what we could consider to be desirable market concentration coming from the maturation of the market, so basically less efficient providers that were being weeded out of the market, or this, or if this was partially a response to monopsonic purchasing procedures from local authorities. But this was raising some concerns, basically in terms of the local current markets, how you would manage what one could consider to be provider failure. So how could what to do in case one major provider would run out of business or go bankrupt? Interestingly enough, in Denmark, we found the other way around, which was policymakers and commissioning officials very much wanting some sort of greater degree of concentration to take place. This was associated apparently to some concerns regarding high transaction costs, and basically there have been now introduced some legislation measures that would make it easier for municipalities in Denmark to try to drive up a little bit more of a market, of a concentration in terms of the home care providers. Another interesting finding, at least for the countries that did not start with a mixed economy of care, and these were all for the exception of the Netherlands, was that these mechanisms succeeded, in fact, in opening them, what was initially basically a monopolistic or oligopolistic provision of care, situation of limited competition, and they have succeeded in opening the market to new types of providers. Now, to wrap it up, of course, the sample of countries, if we can call it this way, is very limited, so we cannot really talk about trends, nor did we set ourselves really to try to find trends, but we did find that in the four countries we have some indications of increased competition. This links to the fact, as I said, that these four countries were successful in terms of creating a mixed economy of care. There was a positive kind of externality of side development in all countries, one that probably one would have expected once you've introduced market mechanisms for the provision of care. And that was that there was an increase in not only in the visibility, but also in terms of the development of new quality assessment, new quality measurement, and new quality management mechanisms. So this was very much now driven, very much placed at the heart of the discussions, and this was certainly, for example, the case in the Netherlands, certainly the case also in Germany. On the other hand, this was also probably not a big surprise. Each of these case studies exhibited what we consider a strong path dependence in terms of the different policy options that were implemented. We saw that some key stakeholders played an important role in some of the care markets that we analyzed. There was nevertheless different model scope, but also what we could consider to be different beliefs in using market mechanisms for the delivery of care. And this was clearly evident, for example, in the case of Denmark, where there seemed to be much more of a resistance towards not only the introduction of market mechanisms, but also much more of a resistance in terms of what could be the perceived benefits from introducing greater competition and greater choice specifically in the Danish context. There were still also some unresolved tensions. One of them related to the issue of prices. These remain very regulated markets. The role for prices to convey kind of an information role remains apparently very limited. Issues about the valorization of care tasks as part of this drive towards contractualization of long-term care, to what extent this was leading to a sort of standardization of care that could be detrimental in terms of quality. Already talked about the issues regarding concentration and impact of monopsonic purchasing in driving down prices, as we saw from the previous presentation, and potentially through that having a negative impact on quality. This was very much present not only in the English case, but also in the Netherlands, also in Germany as well. There were issues around managing what we could consider to be managing risk, and it's very much related to user choice. So to what extent, how much leeway to give users for them to basically make what could be perceived as wrong decisions, to what extent they should be given agency over certain aspects of care. This was very much in the discussion in the majority of countries, perhaps less so in the German case. Finally, even though there was a great degree of discussion, a great degree of mentioning of user choice, we found that there was sort of the creating a creating an environment that was conducive for users, especially, to make choices. And this meant, for example, creating support agencies, providing enough information, regulating markets, for example, regarding personal assistance, both in the case of Germany, in the case of UK. This somehow lagged behind in terms of the implementation of, if you like, the supplementary structure that would be necessary for the creation or for the introduction of market mechanisms in long-term care. Finally, very little in terms of research, in terms of evidence, in terms of what had been the impact of this opening of this implementation of market mechanisms in terms of transaction costs, as opposed to the baseline of the monopolistic or oligopolistic provision of long-term care. This, as I said, was just a very brief overview of the findings of this research. The report is available in our website, and there is also three policy briefs that will come out, in which we try to kind of summarize a bit the wealth of information that we gathered in this report. That's it. I'll be looking forward for the questions. Thank you.